I'm not good with names, and you don't feel the same. Written by Ben Wilvaught. Read to you by BeBrave13. A 911 fanfic with the relationships Evan Buck Buckley / Eddie Diaz, Eddie Diaz / Shannon Diaz, and Eddie Diaz / Kim. Summary. Whatever you do, don't think about her. Shannon, 6 feet under. Carnations at her grave. And don't think about Buck ever changing sleeping on your couch at home, hands folding over faded towels, because he's doing your laundry without you asking, and fingers tracing down your books, copies left over from high school, eyes roving over your body and locked away dreams that you don't discuss, not even at therapy, lips that haven't ever touched you, but lips that know the touch of another man. Just don't think about it. Or Eddie goes on his date with Kim and totally, absolutely does not pine after Shannon or Buck the entire time. Mission failed. This is a story about the comedy and tragedy of intense compet. Author's notes. Fic title from the Aces song Baby Who, because no one understands queer guilt better than ex-Mormons. Anyway, now that I am actually out of the closet, I have emotional space to write 911 fic instead of lingering from afar. Hi, I'm back in the fandom. Trigger warnings. Brief mentions of alcohol dependence. Discussions of religious guilt and compulsory heterosexuality. When she laughs, he could swear the lights shatter and glitter down onto the table. Firefly dust, rabid sparks. It's not true, but when the fuck has anything ever been true for Eddie? So little of his life is stable. Christopher bounces left and right, shooting up like a weed, appointments flicking by, the drawings in a flip book, outgrowing diapers and car seats and school uniforms from that one terrible year Eddie thought Catholic school tuition was worth it. Buck bleeds and bruises and wakes up and gets back to work, manning the trucks that have left him halfway dead, led him 3 feet into the grave, as if the flickers of lightning are mere static to brush off his t-shirts. Anna's kind and sweet until he lets her down, letting himself down, biting his lower lip because for some reason Eddie got used to her and he stopped being able to see the stars in her eyes. Like he got lost on the road. Or maybe like he'd figured out where he was. Hen's in med school and then she's not. She's adopting Nia and then she's not. Abuela's got crow's feet that he never remembered seeing. She's his home and then she's moved, a sort of side effect of the pandemic and the housing crisis situation. Jimmy's had a secret half-brother and then a baby and then amnesia? Shannon is 16 and spinning in her cheer uniform, 20 and never around, 28 and her hair's long now and the edges of her words are clipped with an accent from some city he's never lived in. So nothing is ever stable. Marisol's a fucking nun. Oh, sorry, excuse him. Ex-nun. A very important distinction. And when not Shannon, whose name is Kim, laughs, Eddie could swear. The lights shatter, and the music swells. It's kind of beautiful. She's kind and beautiful. She asks where he works, and he lies, saying the 142 instead. It's easier than he thought. It just popped out. He didn't mean to trick her, he'd swear, but she doesn't ask any follow-up questions. A little part of him thinks, thank God, because that's the best part of a first date. It doesn't have to feel like a job interview. The conversation doesn't have to dry up. Not yet. Not when bottles of white wine pour freely and chocolate cheesecake is always garnished with raspberry drizzle and he and... And sh... He and she muttered and laughed, musing something soft about the Goonies. Shannon loved it too. Loves it, in fact. Kim muses something soft about her childhood in Miami, and Eddie's teeth catch the edges of his lip. It's different. Okay, so she's from the South, at least. She's marvelous. Head thrown back when he tells jokes about his cousin Freddie. Freddie from Tallahassee. Freddie, who once got sideburns cut in the shape of Florida. You know, I actually thought about becoming a cosmetologist or, like, a hairdresser. I don't know the difference.
Oh, really?
Yeah, lots of girls from my high school were into beauty. Cosmetics, all that stuff.
You'd be a good hairdresser,
Eddie murmurs.
Bet you're good with your hands.
He hides a smile behind his glass of wine, bubbles fizzling through his bloodstream, dancing, sparkling. Sometimes first dates feel like pulling teeth, and he isn't quite sure why others feel free, airy, safe, good.
Duh. All you have to do from now on is just scour the earth, find all Shannon's doppelgangers, and ask each of them out. Not weird at all,
he thinks, faint, flickering like television static. Like when he and Dad used to watch baseball on weekends.
Perfect. Dating strategy.
Everything will be fine as long as he keeps sipping, little beads of dopamine weaving their way through his blood. Everything will be fine as long as he looks at her. Her immortal, like a marble statue, lights bouncing off her dark hair like she's Mandy Moore in that whatever. That movie that used to make Shannon sob whenever it was on cable. First dates are easy. All you fucking need is the perfect woman, hand-plucked from a haystack, steady streams of alcohol and pep talks in the bathroom mirror, Eddie tells himself.
Whatever you do, don't think about her.
Shannon, 6 feet under. Carnations at her grave.
And don't think about Buck, ever-changing, sleeping on your couch at home, hands folding over faded towels because he's doing your laundry without you asking, and fingers tracing down your books, copies left over from high school, eyes roving over your body and locked away dreams that you don't discuss, not even at therapy, lips that haven't ever touched you, but lips that know the touch of another man. Just don't think about it.
You're doing just fine.
Mirror reflection, Eddie tells real Eddie. So real, Eddie washes his hands with soap that smells like honey and he tries not to think about any of it. Wanna go to my place? Not Shannon whispers at the end of the night, her nails painted mint blue. Eddie shrugs, giving the Chris excuse. It's muscle memory begging off at the end of the night. It's his reason for not joining the PTA or visiting his cousins in Texas more often, so... why not give it one more time? He doesn't even need to think before it rolls off his tongue. And just like that, it becomes written in stone.
I can't fuck you because I have a kid.
Which is, like, part of the truth.
I can't fuck you because I have a kid
and a girlfriend. Technically, he and Marisol never said they were exclusive, right? Not capital E exclusive. They danced around the subject, what with the I want to be with you and boyfriend and maybe you can meet my parents when they visit for Christmas.
God, he hates himself.
God,
he wonders,
can you make this stop sometime?
Eddie's been afflicted with the grand old curse of overthinking ever since he got home from the war. He shouldn't think this much about Shannon and leaning over the window of his truck to kiss her. Shannon and their wedding, her hair pinned up in this poofy bun, her mother beaming her father with that stern Ron Swanson look, all dark muscle, silver badge on his lapel. He shouldn't think this much about Marisol and her days in the convent. He's taken her virginity from her, like she'd ever slept with guys before him, and she most likely did. He had sex with a nun. Oh my fucking God, he can't fuck God over like this.
He shouldn't think this much about the curve of Buck's lower lip and what it might taste like if he reached for it one late night, 1:11 o'clock after they're out of their turnouts and they've washed all the smoke out of their hair. You okay? Not Shannon asks him. You've been staring for quite some time.
I'm all right.
His breath catches.
Just smile and get through it.
Eddie takes a deep inhale. Sometimes he has to talk to himself like he's a wild animal.
Drop it. Drop it now.
There's been something ravaged, tempestuous, stirring circles and tearing paper in his chest ever since he got home from the war, and he's never quite figured out how to excise it. Were you gonna pay?
Yeah.
Overthinking's a bitch. Eddie takes out his MasterCard and forks it over.
I had a really nice time, he tells Kim,
and it's never a lie. She kisses him. It feels so fucking natural to lean into her body, letting the shadow of her touch fall over his skin. Her lipstick is dark pink and sort of sticky like Shannon's.
Marisol doesn't kiss him like that.
Kim brushes lips past his like she used to, and because there's no tongue, he doesn't even have to think about whether Shannon would have tasted like that too. It's perfect, never knowing, never getting to compare whether his wife would have compared to this. He's living the dream, stuck there, head spin and halo adorned.
Is this what Buck went through with the Daniel thing? Wonder lightning's pulsing through Eddie's skin and his clothes, too.
Kim laughs. I had a real nice time, Edmundo. She's a marvel. He doesn't want her. He just needs her. That's all. Is there a word for that?
Your recent search history.
First date, night at first, fades later.
First date with woman who reminds you of ex. Am I the asshole has anyone been through? Overthinking OCD versus anxiety. What is wrong with me?
Overthinker Anonymous. Is there like a support group?
Regular first date hangover. Feeling like I don't like it enough to keep going. Date hangover not because of alcohol. I just feel hungover after, like regret. Dating hangover. Why do I always regret it more the more I think about it? Overthinking about a date makes it worse? How to make myself stop overthinking all the goddamn time?
There isn't a word for that, unfortunately. It's been 48 hours and he hasn't texted Kim back.
Hey, it was so nice meeting you. You wanna go to OK sometime? It sounds silly, I know, but it's a club. Just opened.
Marisol's tank top is underneath his pillow, thin and aquamarine blue. Eddie finds it probably from morning sex, he thinks, and the guilt bottoms out in his stomach like a skipping stone. He starts to message Kim, but nothing ever comes of his words.
Classic Edmundo. He feels 6 years old again, struck down by the indecision, fumbling for what to do, what the rules are. Everything's better when he thinks less about it. Talk less, handle more.
He shuts his eyes for a moment, refocusing.
Anyway, that's how Edmundo gets 2 girlfriends.
Great going, bud.
Some far-off in the distance version of himself is screaming, voice hoarse, pleading himself not to be that guy.
What are you, some frat bro? Drop it.
But Eddie's browbeaten, caged in by his own mind.
Who are you if you aren't a man? You were made to belong to someone.
Dia Peppa's voice sneaks its way into his ear.
I was getting set in my ways. The longer you're alone, the easier it is to fall into a rut like that. Do you want to be alone forever?
So little of his life is stable. Christopher bounces up and down, grinning ear to ear, now obsessed with the aquarium, not the zoo. He peppers fun facts about stingrays into Buck's ear. Hyakuro's notepads and sneakers and the kids' version of Netflix. Maddie's got new rings on her hand. G shoots up like a weed, outgrowing pastel pink, shifting to soft blue, baby blue, the clothes donated by Josh's weird Aunt Lee. Buck bleeds and bruises because he's learning Muay Thai. His boyfriend's teaching him. He brags in the mornings at work, and he goes to Vegas with Tommy late one Saturday night, winning $50 at the poker table, putting those faded math skills to good use. And Karen somehow have another kid, Tyson, to watch over, children laughing and dancing all over their house, their hardwood floors growing sticky with fingerprints, and Eddie has two girlfriends. Everything's changing, all the ever-loving time, and he's just gotta roll with the punches. He grits his teeth, he grins, and everything's fine. Even if he sometimes thinks about punches and Muay Thai in the shower and his brain glitches stuck on fantasies of hard cords of muscle, groans in the ring, hair slicked back, bones forced out of place, tattoos on ribs and smirks hidden beneath fists, and shiny shorts with tight waistbands that hung hips until they slip, hip bones exposed, holy skin golden and good and bare. Look, he has two girlfriends. It's fine. He's very carefully not thinking about how Shannon hated olives and Kim likes them. Shannon thought Selena's music was overrated and Kim doesn't, and Buck loves her because those are minuscule differences between his ex and his new girlfriend. Girlfriend, Eddie tells himself, yells at himself. Emphasis on girl. And if he has to get stuck in fantasies, let them be fantasies of women. If Eddie sins a little less, God might take a bit longer to strike him down, right? Dad, what are you doing? The bacon's burning on the griddle, and Eddie's slack-jawed playing Instagram shorts of Buck on loop in his mind. That stupid poster boy, Mr. November to raise money for puppy's adoption, grin forever stuck in his head. Dad! Chris is laughing.
Sorry.
You're a firefighter.
I was testing you?
Liar, Chris says, smug.
Everything is fine. It's always a lie.
Buck hates olives, too. Why's Eddie gotta think about that when it's 11:30 and he can't sleep? Author's notes. Dear God, Eddie, we need to get you out of the closet. Like, get this man a sledgehammer and a search and rescue team level of escaping from the closet. I am enthralled and tortured by his queerness. Does he know? Does Tim Minear know? Comments and kudos are always appreciated, and they encourage this author to keep writing, so please go to the original work and give them. I have so many thoughts about Eddie's negative spiral and his isolation. Again, this man needs a sledgehammer and therapy to get out of the closet. You can find the links to tumblers and other things in the notes section below. Podfickers notes. Okay, so I read this fic and immediately went insane. You can go to the original work if you want and look at my comment. It essentially boils down to, please, I'm begging you, I need to read this fic aloud. I need to study this Eddie under a microscope because truly, what is he doing? What is he thinking? I need to know more. I need to dig in. I need to unpack all of this. And there truly is so much to unpack here. Eddie, what the fuck? His brain is just denial central. Catholic guilt central, repression central. This man had a kid, married Shannon, went to war, came back, went to war again, got shot and came back, was a single parent, eventually moved him and Christopher to LA chasing Shannon. He becomes a firefighter. He meets Shannon back up again. Shannon, they're gonna get a divorce, and then she fucking dies. Everything that happens to Buck happens, you know, with him and Buck, and also to Buck and also to them. And this man never processed fucking any of it. He said, emotions? Oh, real men don't have those. I'm gonna pack them up in a little box and put a whole bunch of packing tape over it and shove it in the corner and never touch it ever again. And then Kim comes. Kim comes and boom, boxes burst open in his mind. And suddenly, he's extremely not okay. Which, like, is fair, since he's been repressing as long as he's been repressing. But also, Eddie, please. Yeah, anyway, so, the prose in this is just insane. I really like this fic. And, yeah, bye.